Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
It's great to be with you today. Welcome to our Good Friday service. We're glad to be joining you today, wherever you are. Today is also episode 2 of our new Crossview message series as we kick off our Easter weekend celebrations online here at Calvary. We're glad to be in your home, wherever you're at, watching today. Now, usually we would have already gathered here at the church by now and had mass amounts of pancakes for our annual pancake breakfast, but not this year, maybe next year. But I do know that some of our online small groups have got together this morning and we're enjoying pancakes in a virtual breakfast. So those Zoom cakes are much easier to clean up. And so we're glad that you all have joined us, whether you're eating pancakes or not. If you get your Bibles this morning, we're going to jump into the Word of God. You know, today I'd like to share a unique perspective on a view of the cross that is significant to the day we're living in right now, with how we view and navigate crisis. I think it goes without saying that Sunday is just around the corner, and it represents one of the greatest days in human history, the day that our Savior and King defeated death. And as much as our time together today focuses on the cross, Sunday will be this incredible celebration. But you can't have that celebration without Good Friday, and that's the day that we focus on today. Because not only did he die, he didn't stay dead. Revelations 1:18 says, "I am he who lives and was dead." So we live and die, but he died and lived. That is our Savior. And so every year, Easter offers this fantastic opportunity to reach out, to invite people to join you at church. It's never been easier to invite your friends or your family. Get on social media, look for our invitation and share it with your friends and family. You know, this is a day, this day as Easter comes upon us, this weekend is a weekend when many who are far from God and even those that are close want to come together. There's a sense of longing for hope and for change. And so I want to ask you to do three things. The first thing that you can help me with is pray. Pray for all of our services online this weekend. Pray for those that will be tuning in and watching, and those whose lives will be forever changed, those who desperately need hope. The second thing that I need you to do is to invite somebody. Get out there, call them on the phone, invite them by email or social media, and just ask. You don't know. Out of all the Sundays throughout the year, this is the one that you're most likely to get a yes, especially when people can come to Easter Sunday in their pajamas. It's a great motivator. The third thing that I need you to do is participate. You may not be able to be here in the building with us in person, but you can gather your family together and celebrate the greatest day that we could have ever known as Easter, when Jesus came back to life and filled you and I with new life. And so pray, invite, and participate. Now, the foundational scripture for this series is really also serves as my encouragement and my challenge to all of you during this time of distance that we're all experiencing. Thankfully, it's not a distance from God. He's closer to us than he ever has been before. But here's my challenge to you, and it is the basis in which we built this particular series. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes or our focus or our view on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him," again, that's you and that's me, "the Bible says that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Again, my challenge to you today is to keep your focus on Jesus, because he alone will give you the strength to endure so that you won't become weary and you won't lose heart. Now, our view of the cross today and what it assures us and what it calls us to heavily influences our perspective of how we actually respond in a time of crisis. Do we bunker down and only concern ourselves with our own needs or our own limitations? Or do we lead and love others well in a time when people need us more than ever? Today, I want to talk to you about washing your hands, something that we're all very familiar with. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, you have become a professional at washing your hands. Probably on the daily or every even hour, my wife is after my boys and I, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. When you go to the store, wash your hands. When you go to the gas station, wash your hands. Before dinner, after dinner, wash your hands, wash your hands. It's like the mantra. It's all I hear, and I'm singing happy birthday to me. How long will I have to sing this ridiculous song? Happy birthday to me. We're doing everything we can to wash our hands. I think when we come out on the other side of this, the world is going to have the cleanest hands that it's ever had before. We listen to our parents. They tell us, our politicians, our health officials. We hear government leaders. We hear celebrities all saying the same thing. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands has become almost a new way of life for many of us. Now, there's two stories in the New Testament that occurred within 24 hours of each other, and they create this amazing contrast between individuals, between two lifestyles, two attitudes, or two completely different perspectives. And about the only common denominator between these two stories is that they both involve people washing their hands. And so I believe that these two stories really serve as models or examples of choices that every one of us must make, and that the decisions we make will dictate the course of our lives, depending on which story we relate to. In reality, I think every one of us is living out one of these stories according to the principles that we take from them. Now, the first story is the story of a man named Pontius Pilate. He was the governor, the Roman governor of Judea, and he found himself in a situation that he could never have imagined himself in. The religious elite of his country were irate. They were ticked off, and they were coming to him with a need for him to do something. They had a claim about this horrible individual, this criminal. And even though John's gospel tells us that Pilate couldn't find any fault in Jesus whatsoever, he still gave in to the political pressure, and he commissioned the execution of an innocent man. Matthew 27, verse 24 says, Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I wash my hands of this situation. You see, to Pilate, the bowl of water that he washed his hands in represents abandoned responsibility. He washed his hands of all responsibility. He did what was convenient to him, what was politically self-serving, instead of serving as a man of principle and ethics. Now, the second story actually happened not long before Pilate washed his hands, when Jesus washed his hands in a bowl for a far more godly purpose. You see, as Jesus prepared himself for the cross, knowing what was ahead, looking and enduring what was to come because he saw you, when he was preparing for this, he gathers the disciples together for a supper, to spend time with them, to give them some final important words, and to teach them one final truth. John 13, 3-5 says that Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a bowl. And as Jesus washes his own hands, the Bible says that he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he had around them. You see, to Jesus, the bowl of water, this bowl of water that he washed his hands in to serve and to wash the feet of other people, It represented embraced responsibility. He washed his hands for responsibility. Jesus' perspective in the greatest moment of crisis in his life was all about not serving his own needs, but serving the needs of other people. And that was his focus in this moment. You see, Pilate evaded responsibility. And were it not for his brief encounter with Jesus, he would be nothing more than a footnote in some obscure historical books. But Jesus embraced responsibility. And now he is honored and worshiped by millions around the globe. Winston Churchill once said that the price of greatness is responsibility. If we want to be great in the kingdom, we must embrace our responsibility, the responsibility that we have of serving others as Jesus did. We're either washing our hands for responsibility or we're washing our hands of responsibility. You see, one leans in to serve while the other walks away from it. One is in service to God and to other people while the other is in service of themselves. One is all about me. The other is all about we. One embraces the call while the other completely denies it. You see, we're either washing our hands in the bowl of selflessness or the bowl of selfishness. Jesus modeled for us what washing our hands really looked like. Washing our hands for and in service of other people. So that we can lead well while we serve well. This morning as we close our service, I want you to take that truth to heart. To see which story will be the path that your life will take. Will you wash your hands for the responsibility of serving? Or will you wash your hands of the responsibility and walk away? Jesus didn't. He continued on towards the cross. And so today I want to share in this moment of reflection, as we share in communion together, to see and to look back on what he did to serve us so well. And so I want to encourage you at home right now, wherever you are, to take your own emblems, whether it's bread and crackers or juice or wine. Take those things right now as we share in remembering together. You know, Sunday is going to be a party. It's going to be incredible. Again, it's the greatest celebration ever, but you can't experience the power of Easter Sunday without the pain of Good Friday. So can we pause today? Can we stop and remember what Jesus did on the cross? All that pain, all that suffering he endured for you and I. It was my sin that put him on that cross. Today, we together, wherever we are, we remember that incredible sacrifice. On the night before Jesus would lay down his life and be put to death on a cross, he had supper with his disciples. He had that time with them. And 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 24 says, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Today, let's receive this bread together. That emblem is a symbol. It represents his own broken body for you so that you could have healing in your body. You see, God the Father had a plan. He had a plan for your salvation long before you ever even realized that you needed it. And he could have stopped it. He could have stopped all that suffering. But he knew that his son needed to persevere. He needed to endure. Why? For you and for me. That's how much he loved the world. You see, the passion of Christ is seen in his willingness to sacrifice everything, to give it all, so that you and I could live in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 11 goes on to say in verse 25 to 26 that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's receive together. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as you take the emblems today, as we receive communion, my prayer is that you would receive in your body the health that God has paid for, in your mind, in your spirit, and in your physical body. Receive that healing that he paid for. See, Jesus is our point of entry to knowing the Father. And it's because of that incredible sacrifice on the cross that we can know him personally as the way, the truth, and the life. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you bow your heads in this moment? Father, I pray for everyone who is watching that today, if they do not know you, that today they would. That they would recognize that you sent your Son to die on a cross for the forgiveness of their sins, to give them hope, to give them new life. And as we receive communion today, we remember what you did for us. And we simply say, come into our heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and I accept your forgiveness in Jesus' name. We pray for you today if you've made that decision. We also pray for all of you that you would make a decision about this time of crisis, that you wouldn't just care for yourself, but that you would love others well. That you would wash your hands for the responsibility that each one of us has been called to of serving and loving other peoples. People groups all around the world, our family, the people of our city, wherever they are, you've called us to people, to love you. God, I pray for every person today that we would find ourselves loving and serving others well during this time in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now before we close, I want to give you an opportunity to